Cindy Lee, do you know that verse?
Yes, sir.
Now, what that is, when we were children, they called the Rollin Sunday School. You didn't just come in and sit down like we do now. They came in and they called the roll to see who was there. And when you answered, you had to answer with the scripture. And we all memorized one. The idea was that we'd know a lot. Favorite one, of course, was the words of Jesus. Jesus wept. That was the favorite one. But after all these years, Jenny, I still know exactly what your verse was. Mine always was, let everything hath breath praise ye the Lord. You got it out as quick as you possibly could. But let's just get this. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now from Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then from verse 29, by faith, it's talking about Moses and the children of Israel, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, and the Egyptians are saying to do so were drowned. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his word. Always we talk about the evidence. How do you know? How do you know? Why do you know what you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And what is the evidence that you have that's there? Well, a lot of people would say that the only evidence that the Holy Ghost is in your life is that you speak in tongues. Now, I can tell you this, the Holy Ghost, if it's the real thing speaking through you, is an evidence of you having the Spirit of God in your life. But everybody that speaks in tongues across the nation, my friend, it's not evidence that they have the Spirit. It's evidence that they can speak in tongues. But it's not evidence that the Spirit's there. The concrete evidence of the Spirit being your life is the fruit of the Spirit. Concrete evidence of an apple tree is that there's an apple on it. Concrete evidence of a grapevine is there's grapes on it. And the concrete evidence that the Holy Ghost is in your life is not necessarily a spiritual gift that you may have, but it's the evidence that your life produces fruit like, and every fruit produces what? After its own kind. You never, ever are going to an apple tree and get a grape off of it. Sorry. It's just not going to happen. You're never, ever going to any plant and get something else off of it. Each plant is going to produce what it's supposed to. The Bible said, after his own kind. So my friends, when we look at this, we have to talk about the evidence. How do we know God's there? When we talk about God and what God's doing, and then we start this thing. Well, I sure wish I could have been here when Grandma so-and-so was here prophesying, or I wish I'd have been here when the Apostle Paul was here, or I wish I'd have been so-and-so. I sure would have got in there with them, and I wouldn't have been like the people were in those days. Well, that's what they said when Jesus was here. Jesus said, then why are you persecuting the people that God's here now? Why are you not receiving the ones now? If you think you could have received Daniel or Isaiah or one of those Old Testament prophets, if you could receive them, why can't you receive who God's moving through now? Well, we think about that, and what got me to thinking about this was thinking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Now that is one of the more spectacular things in all of the world and in all of time, is the Exodus. And it's recorded in the scripture in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then it's referred to all the way through the scripture. It's a wonderful thing. It was a salvation for the enslaved people in the South and, well, all over the country when that terrible time was, that they could look at that and they could rejoice in God setting his people free, and they could look forward to that. Well, you say, did the children of Israel believe God? Sadly, no. Sadly, their hearts were hard. In fact, as the scripture says, harden not your hearts as they did in the day of provocation. God did wonderful things among the children of Israel. And God did it, and he said so, to prove himself to them, to let them know that God was real. And we say sometimes, oh, if we just had a miracle working power, that it would get people saved. Seeing a miracle and being where a miracle is can be exciting. If the miracle's being done on you, it's wonderful. But it's no concrete assurity that everybody who sees a miracle will turn to the Lord. Unless that miracle is accompanied by conviction to bring that person's heart to Christ, they're not going to come to repentance and to a knowledge of Christ because they saw a miracle. Now, we've seen that evidence here right in this hollow. Many years ago, and you've heard me tell this story, they were called to pray for Miss Pearl Cast, who lived back up the hollow here. And she was dying with cancer, and Dr. Caudill had left morphine tablets for her to take so it would not be so horrible at the end. But they decided that they would call for the church people to come and pray. And so they did. They all walked up the back way here. There used to be a road up this way, the hill. And they all walked up there and went to Miss Pearl's house. And they prayed through. They prayed through. God heard them. And she was delivered from her cancer. She leaped out of the bed. She danced around in the house, rejoiced in the Lord. She went to the sawmill with her husband. And that's as hard a work in the summer as I ever did, was off-bearing at the sawmill. And she helped him at the sawmill and off-beared, but did not become a Christian. You say, that's remarkable. It is. But God had his hand on her when she was old and in a nursing home. One Sunday, a couple of the nurses who happened to be going to church here and working with her at Heritage Hall in Blacksburg brought her to church. And right in the middle of the service, before I ever could preach, she raised her hand from the wheelchair and said, I want to be saved. And I went down the aisle and we prayed, rolled her up to the front, and she turned to the Lord and prayed. But all those years came and went, and she did not repent, even after seeing that miracle. Now you say that don't happen. Yes, it does. It happens all the time. People are sitting in church and the message of the gospel goes forth and it performs the miracle of salvation in people's hearts, and people sitting right beside of them don't hear it. They heard it because the Spirit was dealing with them, but the person sitting beside of them did not hear it because the Spirit wasn't dealing with them. Only, you know what Jesus said? He said, you cannot come to the Father except the Spirit draw you. And the Spirit of God comes and knocks on your door and talks to you, and God beckons you to let him come in. I'm always humbled by that. The fact that God would knock on my door and ask me if he can come in. And you read that story in the Revelation, and you read it in the Gospel. Jesus talked about that, and they talked about it in the Revelation. He stands at the door and he knocks. And if any man will open, does Jesus not have power to open the door? I'd say he made the heavens and the earth and everything that there is. I think he could take down the door to your heart pretty easy. I don't think that'd be such a great feat of power. And yet he won't do it. He won't do it. He stands there and he knocks and he asks you to open the door. You know, there's a famous painting of Christ standing at the door to knock. And somebody called the painter down when he showed that painting the first time. And they called him down because it doesn't have a latch on the door. There's not a knob or a latch or anything on the outside of that door. And he said, how do you get in? It has to be opened from the inside. And God has chosen that, to do that. So when we talk about the miracle working power of God, How many of us believe God can and does perform miracles? I want to raise my hand first because I believe that. You know, if I die with Parkinson's, don't misunderstand it one bit. That has not had anything to do with the power of God to perform miracles or to heal it. Amen. God is able to do anything. He is powerful and wonderful and gracious. And we always want to give him praise and glory for what he's done. But the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Had they seen the hand of God move? I'd say they had seen the hand of God move. Down in Egypt, they had seen the hand of God move. 400 years they had been sitting down there enslaved by the Egyptians and treated like dirt and pushed out to where they didn't have any life at all. They just were working 7 days a week from daylight to dark. And what horrible life they were having to live. And then shows up this man Moses with his brother Aaron. And God has spoken to them and he has a word for them. And they said, well, you know, who is this that sent you? And he said, well, I am that I am has sent me. Well, how do we know it's in? So God, I'm glad God didn't give me this column, by the way. And Moses put his hand inside of his cloak and he pulled it out and it was eat up with leprosy. Terrible. And when he put it back inside of his hand and pulled it out, it was healed. Well, that should have been enough to impress anybody. But it wasn't. But they had a staff that they walked with, a walking stick. And he threw it down on the ground and it became a poisonous snake crawling around. This is the part I'm glad I didn't have the column for. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and told him what to do. And he reached down and he got it by the tail. And when he did, it turned back into a stick and to a rod. Now, that would impress me. I don't know about you, but I would be impressed with that. I was impressed with the leper's hand being healed. I'm impressed with that. But it didn't work. And the Egyptians made fun of it. And the magicians came out and made false claims and false magic to try to show that they could do what he could do. But they found out they couldn't. But God spoke, and the Israelites had to see this. They could not have missed it because it got dark and the sun went out everywhere except on them. The flies came, the frogs came, the hail came and beat down on them. It was horrible. And every place that God sent those horrible plagues, it never hit the Israelites. The Israelites were standing there watching the power of God work. And one night they had the Passover, and the next morning they were released and went through the desert. And out of Egypt they went and across the desert and down to the Red Sea. And there they are, they're confronted by the ocean. What are we going to do with hundreds of thousands of Israelites who are standing here? There's a mountain on each side, and somebody looked back and saw the dust coming up, and here comes Pharaoh and his chariots and his horses and his army, and they're coming to get the Israelites and bring them back, and they're caught between the mountains and the sea and the army, and they don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to do, and they cry unto the Lord, and the Lord does a wonderful thing. Moses stretches out his rod over the sea, and God sends an east wind, and that ocean opened up, and the ground on the bottom was dry land. You say, you believe that? Yes, I do believe that, by the way. And opened up a pathway all the way across the Red Sea to the other side on the Sinai Peninsula. And as they went through, they walked through. Now, think about this. These people had to walk through there, and there's walls of water upon each side. On every side of them as they walk, they're walking through almost a tunnel of ocean. I don't know if it was like an aquarium where they could see through the wall into the water. I don't know what it looked like, but they walked across dry shod. They didn't even get their feet muddy. Said they walked across dry shod, and they went across, and they were set free. He got to the other side. Pharaoh was so blind, he followed him through there. And when he got in the middle, God let his hand move, And the ocean came down, and every single Egyptian was drowned. All the horses were drowned. All the chariots were beat up. And Israel was completely delivered. And they had a Pentecostal breakdown on the other side that wouldn't quit. Miriam grabbed a tambourine, and Moses grabbed a tambourine. And they went to beating on their tambourines and stomping their feet. And they started dancing and singing. And he said, I don't believe you ought to do that kind of thing, have that kind of demonstration. Maybe you've never been set free yet. Maybe you've never gone through the joy of being set free. Maybe you've never come through the Red Sea. But they came through the Red Sea, and they came out clean. Not one person was lost, not a cow or a chicken or anything was lost. Everything was saved, and they went through to the other side. Now, you say, well, that's wonderful. So everybody in Israel was saved. Everybody. Every single one of them in Israel was saved and went through the sea that day. Isn't that great? The fact is, they say it's, well, they were baptized. New Testament said they were all baptized. And Moses said, well, I believe in baptism by immersion. Well, if standing in the bottom of the Red Sea is not immersion by an ocean, I don't know what you'll ever find, my friend. And they get out on the other side, and they start dancing and singing and praising God. You say, well, this is wonderful. They just went right on up to Kadesh Barnea and went into the Holy Land and took it over. Not a one of them, not a one of them that walked through that sea except Caleb and Joshua and Moses. No one else. Well, in fact, as Moses did, no one who came through that sea except Caleb and Joshua got into the promised land. They all went through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. You say, what's the point? The point is, did they have any evidence of God? Yes, they did. They had wonderful evidence of God. They had seen him in Egypt do all those miracles. But there was nothing like stopping the ocean on each side and walking through the Red Sea. That's one of the most stupendous things that God has ever done, is to open the Red Sea. And people try to say, well, actually where they crossed wasn't down there where it was deep, up on the upper side in the where the delta goes out. It's only about ankle deep, and they could all walk across on it. Honey, get your head screwed on right. It didn't happen that way. God brought them through the Red Sea, and it was enough. And if they went across where it was ankle deep, I have to say God performed a whole wonderful miracle in drowning the whole Egyptian army, horses and riders and everything, in ankle deep water. I think that's a miracle in itself. Wouldn't you? You know what I, you know what I think about? Think about something Thomas Jefferson said. He don't get much credit for it, but he said it. He was exploring around Virginia and looking at all the good things that we have here in our state. And he said, any man or woman who would stand on the peaks of Otter and watch the sunrise over Virginia and doubt that there was a God was a fool. My friend, you say, well, I'd like to see a tremendous miracle. Did you see the spring? Did you see the dead of winter give way to the spring? Did you see the flowers? Did you see the leaves put out? Do you see the forces of nature are in order and working? No matter what our problems are, and we do have them in this world, the truth is, my friend, if you look around you, you can see the hand of God everywhere. Amen. I mean, it's everywhere. Go stand on one of these mountains and look out over what God has given us. Go look. And you have the opportunity to go to video and other place means and look at all over the world wonderful things that are done in nature. I can't explain. What kind of faith do you have to believe that this is all just an accident? That New River flows north and goes through here. It's not an accident, my friend. that the sun got up this morning and is shining on us is not an accident. None of this that you see in the creation of God is an accident. And the Apostle Paul lifted that up in the book of Romans, that we should look at the creation and discern the hand of God and the mind of God. I'm amazed that in one word, God created all of the animals that there are. In one word, He created all of the plants that there are. In one word, He created all of the birds and fish and things that are in the ocean. Just in one word. What a tremendous God we are. And you can believe that all of that just happened? What kind of faith do you have in evolution? Oh, my friends, think about it. How could it all be? How could all the systems just of this body work like it does? How could it be that all the things that we see happening could be just like they are, except that the hand of God is in it? And you say, the evidence, my friend, is in the faith you have. You can see it all. People stand right out here in all of this gorgeous beauty that God has created, in all of this magnificent creation that He has. People stand in the midst of it and shoot each other. People stand in the midst of it and have their hearts filled with hate. People stand in the midst of it and curse and say bad words and turn against God and won't have anything to do. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? The only evidence that you can have that's irrefutable, my friend, is that God comes into your heart. That this faith of God, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You say, well, I don't know if I could see the ocean open up. Listen, 2 million Israelites saw the ocean open up, and they walked through it and said it and went right on into the promised land. No, went right on into the desert and complained because God didn't give them water like they wanted. Went on down the road and complained because they didn't have bread and He gave them manna from heaven. Went on down the road and complained because they didn't have meat and God gave them quail. They went to the Mount Sinai and God came down and shook the ground. Lightning flashed and rocks burst with the force of the lightning. And God came down and spoke to the people. And they said, don't let Him come near. Don't let Him talk to us. We're not worthy for Him to talk to us. And He went up on the mountain and gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And when He came down, the children of Israel were dancing around a god they made with their hands and not trusting God. All of those people that worshiped that image walked through that sea and saw those waters billowed up. They walked through the desert and saw water come out of a solid rock enough to cover everything that the children of Israel wanted. Every morning they got up, there was manna on the ground for them to eat. And every evening, enough quail came in to feed 2 million Israelites. Every evening. Every morning they were fed. Every evening they were fed. They needed water. God gave them water. My friend, when the serpents got loose and bit them, God raised up a standard among them and everybody that looked was healed. How often God moved for those people. How many of them got to go into the promised land? Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, that's all. That's the only two. Because even after they got the Ten Commandments, even after they'd seen God do all of that, when they came to the edge of Kadesh Barnea and they stood and they looked over into Canaan land, they sent the spies out to spy out the land. And they went through all the land, they come back, and they said the land is every whit exactly like God said it would be. In fact, his two men had a pole across their shoulders and a cluster of grapes off of one vine was so heavy that it took two men to carry it. I mean, they were in the land of plenty. Everything they could want. And they acknowledged everything they could want was over there. But somebody said, there's giants over there. Somebody else said, oh, they were big. They were so big that we were just like grasshoppers beside of them. We were nothing beside them. Why, the sons of Anak are over there. And all those terrible giants are over there. And if we go over there, they're going to whoop us. They're going to take us down. And they started crying and said, didn't we have enough graves in Egypt to go into? You know how close they were to the promised land? Closer than Bluff City is to us right now across the river. They were standing on the edge of the promised land. All they had to do was go forward and they would have been in it. Did they get in it? No, they did not. He said, well, if they'd seen the power of God, they saw the power of God. They saw the power of God. Not just in the things that Moses did in Egypt, but when they stopped that ocean and they stood there and they looked, my friend, the evidence, you say, well, there wasn't enough evidence to convince them there was a God. It would have only happened in their heart. It was not enough just to see that happen. We have seen, my friend, more than once when God would move and the Spirit of God would go through a community and we'd be having a revival. People would get saved and come and trust God, and other people would reject the message and turn their head against it because they did not have the conviction. My friend, we have to have evidence. I've got two or three people in here this morning who are accomplished in being the law and have been studied the law and trusted the law. And you very well know that everything somebody says is not going to be accepted in court, is it? Just me being able to say, well, I know it's for real because my mommy had it. My grandma had it. I'm glad mommy had it. I'm glad grandma had it because that's enough to introduce it to me. But I have to tell you something, my friend. That's hearsay evidence. And it's not acceptable as evidence. I want to know that you have the Spirit of God in your life. I want to know that you have your sins under the blood. Not that you heard about it from grandma, but that you know it for sure because you have met the Master. My friend, I want you to know that I know the man who parted the sea. I want you to know this morning that I was just a little boy, but God came into my heart and he hasn't left and he's not going to. I haven't been perfect, not even close, but thank God he's been faithful and he has walked with me and talked with me. We had a preacher over in Parrishburg a few years ago, wouldn't let him sing that song in church, in the garden. Said he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I know it. How many of you know what it is to get up in the dew of the morning and go out and trust God? Yeah, and talk to the Lord. He wouldn't let him sing that song in church because he said, didn't say anything about God in it. I laughed. I said, I know who walks with me and talks with me. I know who tells me I am his own. I know who died on the cross for me. I don't have to have it spelled out. He came to live in my heart. He came to live in my soul. My friend, this morning, I pray that if you're here this morning or listening by some electronic means this morning, I pray that if you don't have Jesus in your heart, let him come in. Let the man come in your heart and in your life that parted the sea. Let the man come into your heart that brought the water from the rock. Let the man come into your heart that reached down from heaven with the commandments and handed them to the children of Israel off of a mountain burning with smoke and fire. My friend, I want you to know this morning that there is a God in heaven who has all power in heaven and earth and has invested all that power in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when he was here on this earth, my friend, all the power of heaven came down to this earth and bowed its head, what? That we might live. Hallelujah. Greatest miracle that God has ever done has not been parting the sea, but has been parting my sins away from me. Amen. Praise God. Would you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you this morning for your blessings and mercies. Thank you for your grace and your fellowship. Thank you, Father, for the evidence of faith that teaches us the way of God. And Lord, we want to hold on to what we've got. Lord, we want to hold on to the Spirit of God, the power of God, the manifestation of God. We want to hold on to a holy and an upright life. And Lord, we pray that our hearts will be convicted this morning and our souls will be moved, and your precious Spirit, God, will come and will touch us and bless us. And Father, we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.